If you'd open your Bible back to Hebrews 11, where we read just a moment ago. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, where faith is the main topic. And then it shows us all the things that have been done by faith. And you read about all these people, beginning in verse 4, Abel, and then Enoch in verse 5, Noah verse 7, Abraham verse 17, Isaac in verse 20, Jacob in 21, Joseph in 22, Moses in 23, and drop down to verse 31, Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute. God did wonderful things for her. And then verse 32 just kind of summarizes and says, you know, we could talk all day about these things, but Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, all of these, God did wonderful things, mighty things in their lives because their faith was in God. And then look at verse 35. We see in verse 35 a shift. The first part of verse 35 is good. The last part of verse 35 is bad. Verse 35, women receive back their dead by resurrection. That's good. But at that point, the writer of Hebrews emphasizes that everybody that has faith and trust in God, it doesn't turn out good for them in this life. As you see in verse 35, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise again to a better life. Others received suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins and of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. We say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to put God first as long as it doesn't cost me anything. But if I get hurt, or if I have to suffer a little bit, or if I have to sacrifice, you know, I don't want that. But these people, God's people, they experienced all kinds of calamities. Now, I want to focus on verse number 35 this morning. Verse number 35, this is where the transition takes place. I want you to notice, the women receive back their dead by resurrection. I want us to talk about resurrection for the next few moments. And this image that you see on the projection is Elijah over the body of a little dead boy. Probably all of us can relate to death, except for maybe some of the younger ones. We've had somebody in our family to die, maybe grandparents, or maybe your parents, or a child. The extreme trauma that my mother and father and brother went through 2 months before I was born in the death of my little 5-year-old brother. Nobody can understand, nor they can't understand, they can't fully sympathize and put yourself in their place. You just can't really, unless it's happened to you. And what does verse 35 say? Women receive back their dead by resurrection. I want to entitle this message, those words in verse 35, women receive back their dead by resurrection. That's our title this morning. You see, this is not talking about men. This is referring to mothers. Mothers receive back. Something took them away. Something took their children away. Something took their loved one away. But these women that we're going to read about received back their dead by resurrection. Now, do you know what resurrection is? As we think about Christ, we know that Christ died for our sins and then was resurrected the third day. But resurrection is seen many places in the Scriptures. In fact, I want you to keep your Bible ready to turn to several Scriptures. I want you to see what it's talking about. Women received back their dead by way of resurrection. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you please speak to us today? I pray, Lord, for that one that's in sorrow right now in this room, or maybe by what those watching by the live stream. They're in sorrow. Their loved one has been taken away, and they are grieving. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises of resurrection. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here today that is outside of Jesus Christ, they are still in their sins, that they've not yet been born again. May today, may you deal with their hearts. May you draw them to yourself. And may they today be born from above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you first of all to turn back to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 17. This will show us what's taking place there in this depiction upon the projection. This is Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. You'll find in the Old Testament, there are only 3 people raised from the dead in the Old Testament. The first 4,000 years of recorded history, only 3 people raised from the dead. Elijah raises one, and then we're going to see Elisha. Remember Elisha? He wanted a double portion of God's power that was on Elijah. And for every miracle that Elijah did, Elisha did 2 times. We'll see that in just a moment. But here in 1 Kings chapter number 17, I want you to notice the widow at Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath. And here this woman, something happens that is tragic. Look down at verse number 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. The boy died, is what it's saying. And she said to Elijah, "What have you done against me, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and cause the death of my son." And he said, "Give me your son." He took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged. And he laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Verse 21, then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. And the life of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, that the word of the Lord is in your mouth." Or is in your mouth is truth. Multiplied millions of mothers with a dead child has wished that something like that could have happened to her child. She wants her child to rise up. But of course, it's a fact of life. It is a hard fact of life. Is that those we love, we can't keep them from dying. Death is a reality. But I want you to see here, we're talking about resurrection. We're talking about women who receive back their child from death by resurrection. Here is the first. Notice now the next book, 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want you to see these scriptures. I want you to look at them yourself. And here we're going to see a Shunammite woman. A Shunammite woman's son. Now this is Elisha. Elijah is now off the scene. Elisha is gone. Elisha, who is received a double portion of the power of God upon him. There was a wealthy woman. A wealthy woman in verse number 8. This wealthy woman, it says that she urged him to drink some food or to eat some food in verse number 8. And whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said in verse number 9, she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way." Verse 10, "Let's make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." This is what you call a prophet's chamber. This is where that term came from. Is the Shunammite woman said, "We want to have a little place where when he comes by traveling, we can take care of him." So one day he came there, verse 11, he turned into the chamber and rested there. And verse 12, he calls for this woman. Verse 13, he said, "Say to her, "See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you?" Notice, he's saying, can I do something for you? Well, she said, yeah. Verse 14, he says, "We've got no son. My husband is old." Verse 15, he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." You're going to have a son. You're going to have a baby. She said, "No, my Lord, O man of God, don't lie to your servant. Don't deceive me." But verse 17, the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. Isn't this a wonderful thing that God miraculously gives this woman a son? But wait a minute. All of us, we know that when we receive gifts of babies, children, there's no guarantees to any of us that nothing will go wrong, or that the child will not get sick, or the child will not die. It's a horrible thing to go through. But God gives this woman a child. But you read in verse number 18, as the boy is grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers, and he said to his father, "Oh, my head, oh, my head." The father said to the servant, "Go carry him to his mother." And when he lifted him and brought him to his mother, verse 20, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. Then he died. What'd she do? She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, that's Elisha, and shut the door behind him and went out. And the scripture goes on to say that the servant was sent to go find Elisha. Go get Elisha. Bring him. Well, the servant went. But Elisha first said, "Here, take my staff and lay it on the boy. See if that will bring him back to life." Well, verse 29, that didn't work. So verse number 32, Elisha came to the house. He saw the child lying dead on the bed. So he went in, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself upon him. The flesh of the child became warm. Verse 35, then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house, and he went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called, and when she came in, he said, "Pick up your son." She had picked him up a little while ago and carried him up there dead. But now, pick up your son. Verse 37, she came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Women received back their dead by way of resurrection. That's what Hebrews says. Well, let's turn over to the next scripture. Chapter number 13 of 2 Kings. 2 Kings 13. See, what we're looking at is we're looking at only three times in the Old Testament was someone raised from the dead. Wow, this is a strange one here. I'm going to call this the unknown woman's son. We don't know who the mother was of this one that died. But in chapter 13, look at what it says. Now, Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God, dies. Verse number 20. So Elisha died and they buried him. Now, bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year, and as a man was being buried, behold, a marauding band was seen, and the man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. So they're burying Elisha. While they're burying Elisha, here comes a marauding band, and they just, this other guy that they're going to bury, they don't have time to bury him. They just throw him in the grave with Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Well, what kind of miracle is this? Elijah is dead. He's laying in the grave. And they have to hastily throw this other dead man in the grave on top of Elisha. And God brings him back from the dead. Now, friends, in the Bible, the Old Testament, only three people are raised from the dead, and we've just seen those three. Now we move to the New Testament. If you would, turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. We're going to move quickly through these. Luke chapter 7. And here Jesus is going to raise from the dead a widow's son. This is the widow of Nain. Nain is the town. Look at chapter 7 of Luke, verse number 11. Soon afterward he went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went after him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." That's a strange thing to say to a woman, a widow woman who's already lost her husband. Now she's lost her son, and he's on a bier. They're carrying him to a burial place. And Jesus says, "Do not weep." Jesus never says for us to do something unless there is something that he is about to do. Do not weep. Verse 14, and then he came up and touched the bier. That's the platform that they were carrying. He touched the bier, and the bearers, those carrying it, stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Can you imagine? Can you Can you just imagine what that would have been like? Jesus has compassion on this hurting mother. Death has taken her son away. But Jesus gives him back to her. I like the way that's phrased in the last part of verse 15. Jesus gave him to his mother alive. Verse number 16, what about the people around? Fear seized them all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Jesus raises this boy, or this young man. Turn to the next chapter, Luke chapter 8. Another resurrection. Here in chapter number 8, look down at verse number 49. Well, look up at verse number 40. When Jesus had returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were waiting for him. And there was a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. Verse 42, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. So they come to the right person, to Jesus. But Jesus gets delayed before he can get to the house. The girl dies. There's a woman with an issue of blood that comes, and Jesus takes care of her, healing her. But look at what it says there in verse number 49. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter's dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." In other words, she's dead. No need to come now, Jesus. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him in verse 50. "Do not fear, only believe. She will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And everybody was weeping and mourning for her, but he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." Notice the reaction of the crowd. Verse 53, they laughed at him, knowing. They all knew she was dead. And Jesus said, "Oh, she's just sleeping." They laughed him to scorn, it says. In verse 54, by taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned. And she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Notice, another miraculous resurrection. And there the father and mother are with Jesus in the room. And Jesus brings this child to life. Remember our verse in Hebrews, women received again their children by resurrection. Turn over to John chapter 11. We're going chronologically through the Bible as it appears, all of those who are resurrected. All of those who are brought back from the dead. We all know about this situation, don't we? John chapter 11, Mary and Martha's brother. Evidently, Mama has already died. But Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus got sick. We'll not take the time to look at all the details in the story, but Lazarus got sick. Now, Jesus was a personal friend of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He had been in their home before. They had entertained him in their home. They were friends. And so Jesus is off somewhere. The sisters, Mary and Martha, sends a message. Get to Jesus. Our brother's sick. Get Jesus to come. And Jesus doesn't come for a few days. In the meantime, he dies. In the meantime, he's buried. He's been dead for several days and decomposition had already begun to set in. By that time, he stunk. And Jesus says that I'm going to raise him. He's going to live. Do you believe? The Bible, look at what it says there in verse number 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the English Bible. Two words. Jesus wept. Jesus was touched emotionally and Jesus wept. Tears came from his eyes. So what did the Jews say in verse 36? So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Well, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Notice the charge against Jesus. Jesus, Mary and Martha said, "If you'd have got here in time, we know you could have healed him. But now he's dead." And these people are saying, "Well, why could he not get here in time? Why did he tarry?" Then Jesus, verse 38, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay across it. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor. For he's been dead 4 days, 96 hours. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you always hear me. I know that you always hear me." Verse 42, "And this I say on the account of the people standing round, that they may believe that you had sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth," or "come out." And look at the miracle of verse 44. The man who had died, past tense, came out, present tense. His hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said unto them, "Unbind him," or "loose him," "and let him go." Do you see the past, present, and future of Lazarus in verse 44. He had died. Now he has come out, but he's bound. And Jesus said, "Unbind him, loose him, let him go." That's his future. Oh, the wonderful miracle, the miraculous raising of the dead we see here in John chapter 11. We're working our way through. Go to chapter 20. Here is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to come back to this in just a moment. So let's move on. Go back to Matthew 27. You say, "Well, I thought we were moving through the Bible. Now we're going back." But here is something that is recorded after Jesus died. which John 20 is talking about, we'll see in a moment. But after Jesus died, we see many people get up out of the grave and go into Jerusalem. I'll call these the saints in Jerusalem. Look there at verse number 50. This is strange. Jesus cried out again and with a loud voice yielded up his spirit. So Jesus dies there in verse 50. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. Verse 52, the tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, that means died, was raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. This is strange. All these people that the graves open up. It doesn't tell us how many people. It doesn't tell us all the details of this, but these are resurrections. Whether these people lived and then died again, I'm not sure. But just wanted you to see this instance. Now move to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. Are you following me? Have you already given up? Have you already tired out? I hope you haven't. Acts chapter 9. We're talking about resurrection. People coming back from the dead. And here in Acts chapter 9, we're going to see Tabitha or Dorcas. Her Greek name was Dorcas. And we won't take time to read all about this woman, but this woman was a very special woman. She was a very loved woman. She was always looking out for other people, less fortunate. She was making clothes for people. Well, notice in verse 36, there was in Joppa, this is Acts chapter 9, verse 36, this disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging, "Please come to us without delay." Verse 39, so Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows, they were all acquainted with death. They were widows. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and he knelt down and prayed, turning to the body. He said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, notice how this is worded, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. One more. Acts 20. And this is the last one in the New Testament. Acts 20. Here's a man by the name of Eutychus. Eutychus. Here in Acts chapter 20. This is an unusual situation. Look at verse number 7. On the first day of the week, that's the Lord's day, that's Sunday, that's what we honor and worship the Lord on the first day of the week when Jesus resurrected. They were gathered together to break bread, and Paul talked with them. intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. Now, I've never done that, have I? Preached all the way to midnight? No. But here's the Apostle Paul, and he is going to be leaving tomorrow. And of course, they want him to stay and keep preaching, keep teaching. So it's about midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered. Some believe that means that it was warm in the room because there's many lamps up there. And this is an upper room. In verse number 9, a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." He was dead, but Paul, God used him to raise this young man from the dead. And after Acts 20, you do not see the rest of the early church period where God did these miraculous signs. But we cannot not go back to John chapter 20. We got to go back to John chapter 20 for our close. And John chapter 20 is where Jesus is raised from the dead by the Father. He is in the tomb for 3 days. And on that third day, on the first day of the week, Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and so forth. And they looked inside. Peter and the other disciple came, that was John, came, and they saw in verse 7 and 8 that he's not here. And verse number 9, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture about him raising from the dead." Now, he had told them while he was with them, "I must needs go to Jerusalem. There I will be betrayed. I will be crucified. And the third day I will rise." But they didn't understand. It was confusing to them. They're thinking he's Messiah. He is the awaited one. He is the one who has come to give Israel freedom from the Romans. They don't comprehend that he's going to die as a Lamb of God and shed his blood for the salvation of men and women and boys and girls. So they did not understand, chapter 20, verse 9 says. So what did the disciples do? They returned and went back to their homes. Verse number 19. I'm skipping Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, verse 11 down to verse 18. Read that. But verse number 19, on the evening of that day, this is he was resurrected that Sunday morning. The evening, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." How did he get in? No locks can keep him out. No doors can keep him out in his resurrected body. And verse number 20, just to be convincing to them, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He's alive. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Look on down at verse number 24. Now, somebody wasn't there that night. Thomas. Remember, we called him Doubting Thomas. He should have been in church on that first Sunday night. He wasn't there. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, this is verse 24, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Well, Thomas, you should have been here the other night. 8 days later, verse 26. Or he was speaking that night. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand, place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Look at verse 30 and 31 as we close. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in the book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." He's not a dead Savior. He rose from the dead. He presented himself. He let them touch him and reach into his side, that riven side. They're convinced. They begin to see all the pieces of the puzzle start to come together. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he shed his blood, making a payment for the sin of all those who will believe upon him and save them. Have you believed upon him? We're not talking about a mental assent. "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, I was raised in church. Oh yeah, I've been baptized. I prayed a prayer years ago." Question is, were you changed? There's a lot of people that have done all these things, but they're not changed. They're still walking around in their sins, deceived, thinking that because I checked off these things, these boxes, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Question is, are you in him right now? Are you walking in him right now? Do you have his Spirit in you right now? Do you have a heart for the things of God right now? Do you have affections for the things of God, for his church, for his word, for his people? You need to ask yourself and be honest. Do I really have affections for the things of God? I really don't. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read the Word. I don't want to be obedient to the Lord. Answering those questions, you're doing what it says in Corinthians, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Jesus is raising people from the dead today, not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. "And you hath he quickened, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." That happened to me August the 11th, 1969. That Monday night, I have not been the same since then. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for just a moment. We've seen all of these resurrections in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. 10 of them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He was the crowning one. The resurrection of the suffering Savior. Oh, today would you believe upon Him? Place your faith upon Him. Throw yourself upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel and be saved today.